the Divided Kingdom evening news program. This is Lou Caverly.
And Elizabeth Cuppy Caverly.
You can hear this cutting-edge program at WWCR.com Thursday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Time and on shortwave at 4.840 megahertz. It repeats on Saturday mornings on 7.490 at 8 a.m. Something went wrong Saturday, March 4th, and no program aired. Many of you were disappointed. We feel sure WWCR will have everything fixed, and you'll again hear us this coming Saturday, March 11th, on 7.490 at 8 a.m. We can also be heard on 9.350 megahertz at 4 p.m. Mondays. And we can be heard at Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net, KStarTalkRadio.com, and KingdomStarRadio.com. Consult their websites for days and times. Tonight's program is titled Late Winter Frost, Falling Further Toward Hell. Elizabeth?
Yes, Lou. And this later frost that's in this late winter is still killing people who took the COVID shots. And we keep checking the obituaries, and some of our listeners are checking some obituaries in other states. So here within a three-day onus, I guess we could say here, Sunday, March the 5th through March the 8th, we had a woman named Deborah, 64, passed away at her home. That was March 5th. Then we had a man named Reginald, 69, passed away at his home, okay? Then we had a woman, 78, excuse me, died, quote, peacefully, okay? And then we had another very interesting one, I thought. This now, again, was March 5th. This man's name was Ken, and he was only 57. And he passed away peacefully at a hospital due to complications caused by two massive strokes. Now, Lou, 57 is pretty young to have two massive strokes, don't you think?
Seems very young to me, yes. It does seem
and
like
and this a guy was a very active guy.
Yeah.
He ran a power washing place, and, you know, it seemed like he was rather athletic. He was performing. He did karaoke. He did all kinds of things. So, you know, it seemed a little unusual. Then we had, on March 8th, we had James, age 64, quote, died suddenly on Saturday, March 4th, at his beloved family farm. That's the one that's most telling, I think, the age there of 64, died suddenly. So died suddenly is still happening worldwide. We really have to keep alerting you. And our local paper keeps running. The walk-in clinic for the bivalent shot is still there. But, you know, these suddenly death syndromes, they're calling them sudden death syndromes, and this is still a cover-up, and they're not stopping anything. If anything, this whole thing is spiking again via the spike protein. And before we even move on, remember, Lou, we just heard a somewhat suppressed interview. I think Jeff Renz was taken off the air. Then he got back on the air, and we were alerted to a broadcast in which he talked about the dioxin, the spill at East Palestine, and how terribly dangerous this is going to be. The cattle will be eating the grass, milk, everything will have this in it. And we urge you listeners to think again about preparing food storage. And we have no deal with Lehman's. It's an Amish-derived company in Ohio. And we didn't even really look up how close it was to East Palestine, but we knew we should pray. And we felt the Lord said immediately, order more canned chicken and turkey, because guess what? When Lou went to the website, the beef is out of stock. This is probably the last time we will ever be able to order from them because they're in Ohio. So you see what the Lord said. Actually, we got the passage in Proverbs about the prudent man, and I felt he was saying, yes, order now, be because we found that their meats lasted more than the 5 years, they claim. Actually, we have a can of pork sitting downstairs that I think now might be 8 years old. So we know it lasts. We didn't like their pork. I'm a little picky about pork because I grew up with my father having a little farm. I wasn't too thrilled with the pork, but the beef is pretty good. The chicken, the turkey, certainly passable, certainly better than a lot of those companies that we fear some of our listeners went into where they were supposed to get this food that's sort of freeze-dried, but it's just filled with chemicals. We're not going to name a name, but a friend of ours ordered a bunch of stuff from them, and then we saw these ingredients, just chemical after chemical after chemical. And this is real food. It may not be organic, and it's pretty salty. But, you know, we've learned we can rinse things. And, you know, if you get salted nuts, you can put them in a colander and shake them. That was my late mother's technique. You can get the salt out of things pretty well, and you can use smaller amounts of the meat. You could take these cans from Layman's or wherever you might get canned meats, and you could put them in little freezer bags, and then use a little bit of meat with a lot of vegetables, make stews, make soups, things like that. So at any rate, then Jeff Renz moved to the next topic about whether there is shedding. And he had an expert woman on with him. We didn't really catch her background and her name exactly. But it seemed as though there are many reports now that people living with people who were vaccinated, the people who are reporting this, of course, were not vaccinated, but over time they do get sicker. And they appear to be having some of the spike proteins in their bodies. And then they commented that some spike proteins were found in masks. And we were pleased to hear that Jeff Renz said, so masks do work to some degree for the people wearing them and for the people not to shed on us and for us not to get it. We always maintained that, didn't we?
Yes, that's right.
It was just common sense.
Yeah.
It really was. But at any rate, is this confirmed to us, even though this woman guest said it's hell on earth, you have no social connections, older people, that's us. Sometimes we're somewhat depressed. But, you know, I'd rather be depressed for 20 minutes and then elated with all of you listeners, the letters you're sending us. Yes, yes, the doctor from Pennsylvania sent more elephants. He must have heard me say that was my favorite set of stamps. And he, listeners, sent some help for Dr. Dennis Cuddy. We're very concerned. Dennis Cuddy needs continuing donations. And two other people sent a little bit for him also recently. So actually one person sent a rather good amount, and we're so thankful to that person because that person has made all the difference into whether we are going to be able to stay on the air. Yes, Bob, thank you with all of our hearts. And so at any rate, you can be thinking about that. If you can send a little bit for Dennis Cuddy, if it's cash, we then write a check and mail it on to him. If you want to write a check to him, Dr. Dennis, it doesn't have to be doctor, just Dennis Cuddy, C-U-D-D-Y, any amount I would think would help him, Lou, because we sent him a little grocery package, some peanut butter, some crackers, some cereal, some things that we knew were helpful. So, you know, any amount, if you put a little bit in and we accumulate it and we send it to him, it could help him buy some groceries. Remember, he gave up his life savings, about $150. Isn't that what you remember?
I don't remember the exact amount.
I believe it was to take care of his elderly mother. So if you want to help Lou and me, Lou has just put in the new drum. Now we can copy again because it was so dim, it was failing, and he has to pay for the phone. You have to do that yet, don't you?
Oh, yeah, today's the day.
Yes.
I'm going to do that.
Over $70.
Yeah.
So any little bits of cash you can send us directly will help us, or you can write a check to WWCR. Or you can write to Global Star Communications. Any of that will be most helpful to send it to Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Again, that's P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And we're just so grateful to be on the air because we realize more and more, though we might only have thousands of listeners compared to those bigger programs with millions, We haven't been taken into a room, as Alex Jones always claimed, after he got to a certain growth stage, that they offered him millions of dollars a year if he would knuckle under. No, we have not gotten to that point. We only have one leader, and that is God. And we are praying strongly to him all the time that he will continue to guide us. And we are so thankful for all of you listeners. So now, back to Lou.
This falling further toward hell accelerates because the U.S. and world are increasingly being taken over by satanic evil. A listener wrote to us, quote, "Before his death, head of the Worldwide Church of Satan, Anton LaVey said that the USA would raise up tridents all across the country in alleged defiance of Jesus Christ. This has already happened. The three bladed wind turbines are these tridents. As you stand facing the direction of the turbines, they all turn counterclockwise in, quote, Wittishams, unquote, which are what witches use for placing curses."
Spell that word. That was an interesting new word to us.
That is. That's new to me, too. It's Widdershams, Wittershams.
And tell us what that was again, the definition?
Well, he said, which are what witches use, W-I-T-C-H-E, is that kind of witches use for placing curses. And this is Lou speaking now. That ends the quote. These curses are being placed in real life. In fact, such shocking curses of evil materializing on Earth, such as the COVID shot, sudden deaths, and questionable events like East Palestine, Ohio, make many of us wonder whether the biblical book of Revelation story has already started. And here's a letter from a longtime friend and listener, Fred. And Fred writes, "Dear friends in Christ, I was trained in two Bible colleges, and until recent years, I believed what most pastors do. I was also a believer in the pre-trib rapture and strongly defended it. However, in the past 2 years, God has shown me two things that neither I nor anyone else seems to be aware of. In your Bible, look at Revelation 6. This is the famous Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse passage. The standard view is that the rider of the white horse is the Antichrist coming to power, followed by the red horse, war against Israel, etc. What God showed me, and this again is Fred speaking, what God showed me is that the rider of the white horse is not Antichrist, but is COVID-19. The red horse rider never says war, only that peace is taken from the earth. Everything you see happening in the world since the COVID-19 pandemic, senseless killing, job loss, suicides, etc., can be traced to the rider of the white horse. All this is prior to Daniel's 70th week.
And Lou, I'd like to interject there.
Yes.
That he said there was a standard view that this white horse was the coming of the Antichrist. But in a sense, if it is COVID, there's not too much of a discrepancy there, because the COVID and the white horse, they're bringing the spirit of Antichrist. You know, those mobile vans roving around Maryland to inject children and adults, and the offering of the lottery tickets and even pizzas to people. I mean, that is the Antichrist spirit. So it's in a sense, it's a merger, I think, between the COVID, the white horse, and the Antichrist activities. Now, go ahead about Daniel. Back to Fred's writing.
Yes, Fred says, all this is prior to Daniel's 70th week, the so-called tribulation. Most Bible experts agree that Jesus died in A.D. 29, having been born in 4 B.C. And this is Lou speaking, one of the, I guess it was a monk in the Middle Ages, when he figured back, made a few errors in his calculations, and that's why we don't have Jesus born in zero. Actually, there was no year zero.
That's really interesting, Lou. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, the prevailing opinion is that Jesus was born around 4 B.C. Now, going on with Fred's letter, in 2 Peter 3:8, we see that in God's sight, one day is equal to 1,000 years. Now, in Hosea 6:2, we see that Jesus will return after 2 days. and on the third day will establish his kingdom with Israel. So AD 29 plus 2,000 years is 2029, when Jesus returns to set up his kingdom. Hence, the 70th week of Daniel began on October 6, 2022. For more details, Elizabeth and Lou can direct your, I can direct you to me, that is Fred, and if you can send a few dollars to Divided Kingdom Radio, please do so. Their info is vital. Well, thank you, Fred. That was a good letter, and we don't claim to know the exact day of Jesus' coming. In fact, Matthew 24:36, he says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father." But I think Fred is right to examine this, because Jesus also says to be ready. He says it in several places. In fact, the parable of the 10 virgins. He says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh." So it behooves us all to be ready. And once again, if you would like to contact Fred, if you're interested in this concept and or you want to exchange opinions with Fred, we will be happy to pass along anything you send to us if you just put in a letter that you would like to get in contact with him, and we'll send your information on to him. So, Elizabeth?
Okay.
Oh, wait, I have a little more,
I
don't I?
You do have something.
I do, yes. All right. Let me see now. We open with this article that clearly shows we are falling further toward hell.
Yes. And this was naturalnews.com, February 3rd, by the news editor, "Satanic Temple Opens Abortion Clinic, Where Patients Undergo, Quote, Religious Ritual Before Pregnancy Termination." The Satanic Temple has created a telehealth abortion clinic in New Mexico called Samuel Alito's Mom's Satanic Abortion Clinic. Lou, how about that one? What
yeah.
a moniker. That will provide abortion-inducing drugs to anyone who completes their satanic religious ritual, a health screening, and a virtual appointment. This article was by Joshua Young, republished by, from rather, the postmillennial.com. According to the clinic's website, quote, "Samuel Alito's Mom's Satanic Abortion Clinic is an online clinic that provides religious medication abortion care. The clinic provides abortion medication via mail to those in New Mexico who wish to perform the Satanic Temple's religious abortion ritual. The first step for a person to get an abortion through the Satanic Temple is to speak aloud the, quote, religious ritual." According to the telehealth abortion clinic's website, quote, "The ritual consists solely of spoken words. TST, and that is the Satanic Temple's abortion ritual, is exclusively verbal. It is meant to provide vocal affirmation and comfort for those obtaining an abortion. The oral ritual includes the recitation of the Satanic Temple's third and fifth tenets. If the abortion seeker speaks the incantation, according to the website, that person then completes a confidential screening and virtual appointment. Afterwards, they can have their abortion-inducing drugs sent to the clinic's pharmacy partner, who will mail the medications in a discreet package. The Satanic Abortion Service costs $90, and their clinic will have a patient hotline open 24/7. The executive director of campaigns for the Satanic Temple, Aaron Helian, and you know that could be pronounced, Lou, as Helian, H-E-L-I-A-N,
yeah.
Aaron Helian, said TST, and again, that's the Satanic Temple, is proud to expand reproductive options for our members. This is just the beginning. Oh, Lou, falling farther toward hell.
Yes, it sure is.
We will remain steadfast as we continue to fight to uphold reproductive justice in the United States, Helian added. Malcolm Jerry, the co-founder of the Satanic Temple, said they named the abortion site after Justice Samuel Alito's mother because, quote, "In 1950, Samuel Alito's mother did not have options, and look what happened." Prior to 1973, doctors who performed abortions could lose their licenses and go to jail. The clinic's name serves to remind people just how important it is to have the right to control one's body and the potential ramifications of losing that right. Jerry added, Justice Alito wrote the majority opinion in the June 24th overturn of Roe v. Wade, which sent regulation of abortion back to the states. The Constitution does not confer a right to abortion, Alito wrote, and the authority to regulate abortion is returned to the people and their elected representatives. Since Roe was overturned, members of the Satanic Temple have increased support for Planned Parenthood and other abortion providers.
And here's Murder, Inc. Flashback. Epstein-linked Clinton lawyer found shot and hanged. Death rules suicide. This is by Addison Resurto, National File, January 7, 2023. Mark Middleton, 59, the former presidential advisor to Bill Clinton, who introduced the former president to Jeff Epstein, and who was heavily involved in the 1996 Clinton campaign fundraising scandal, Chinagate, was found dead in Perryville, Arkansas, on property tied to the Clinton Foundation, hanged from a tree by an electrical extension cord with a shotgun wound to the chest on May 7th. The death of the married father of two was ruled a suicide, and Perry County Sheriff Department denied Freedom of Information Act of FOIA requests for paperwork related to the case.
Oh, you know, the Arkansas are moving to another state. What state was this?
This was Arkansas.
Oh, they didn't move at all. They're just continuing.
Yeah, that's right. And they denied that Freedom of Information Act, at least the sheriff did, request for paperwork related to the case after a lawsuit was filed by the wife and brother of Mark Middleton. A civil lawsuit was filed on May 23rd in the Civil Division of the Circuit Court of Perry County, Arkansas, by Mark Middleton's widow, Rhea Middleton, and his brother, Stephen Lawrence Middleton, also known as Larry Middleton. The civil suit was filed via attorney at law Paul Parnell of the Rose Law Firm, the same law firm where Hillary Clinton worked during Bill's Arkansas gubernatorial tenure. So, I'll just comment. This is Lou speaking. So, hanged and shotgun wound. That kind of seems puzzling to me. Think about that. But now, moving on from National File.
And you know, the love firm that was had connections, didn't it, to Vince
Foster?
Yes,
the Rose Law Firm.
Yeah, that Vince Foster,
yep.
This strange,
oh, yeah, it's
strange
all entangled.
Death,
yep.
All of these strange deaths. But you're right. How can you have hanging and what was the other part, the shotgun?
Shotgun.
Gee, that's like double jeopardy or something.
Killing. Something along those lines, definitely.
Mm, really strange.
Now, women do indeed play their roles, too, in the Hegelian political theater. Perhaps Marjorie Taylor Greene is one of the most clever, great pretenders. From National File, Marjorie Taylor Greene's office covers for CCP, Epstein-tied influence operation. How low can she grow? Tantric adulterer, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene refuses to discuss Epstein's Humpty Dumpty Institute, CCP, PLA ties, as their Koch Institute staffer claims it could implicate McCarthy. This is by Frankie Stocks, December 31st, National File. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia is refusing to discuss the Epstein-led Chinese Communist Party, CCP-aligned Humpty Dumpty Institute, despite knowledge of its involvement with foreign influence operations and the brother of Jeffrey Epstein, for fear that investigating HDI, that's the Humpty Dumpty Institute, could implicate Kevin McCarthy and other members of the GOP establishment. National File can exclusively report that Marjorie Taylor Greene has knowledge of the Humpty Dumpty Institute and its subversion of the United States Congress, but she has refused to act for fear that investigating HDI, the CCP, and People's Liberation Army's malign influence operations could bring down Kevin McCarthy and other members of the GOP establishment. After initially thanking National File for exposing the HDI, CCP, PLA infiltration of Congress, Marjorie Taylor Greene spiked her office's involvement with further exposure of the influence operation. National File has extensively reported on the Humpty Dumpty Institute's tangible connections to the CCP, that of course is the Chinese Communist Party, its People's Liberation Army, PLA, and the Tay Institute, a CCP-PLA-aligned think tank devoted to spreading communism around the globe. HDI publicly lists and has listed numerous members of Congress as part of its, quote, advisory board, unquote, including Mark Meadows, Adam Schiff, and Benny Thompson. It's also tainted the executive branch with former DNI Richard Grenell appearing prominently in HDI archives from his days with the Bush administration. In September of this year, one of MTG's staff members, Taylor LaJoy, who's employed as her chief policy advisor, held an hour-long video call with National File and others to discuss the Humpty Dumpty Institute and its deep ties to the CCP, PLA, and Tay Institute, as well as to Mark Epstein, the brother of deceased pedophile and deep state alum Jeffrey Epstein.
And, of course, the CCP is the Chinese Communist Party, if
yes.
We've forgotten that abbreviated term.
Yes, that's right. The conversation with LaJoy was part of numerous two-way communications with the MTG, that's Marjorie Taylor Greene, staffer, who has a background within the GOP establishment, including stints with the Koch Institute and Heritage Foundation, before he found work with Representative Greene.
And, of course, we're not naive anymore. The late Dr. Stan Monteith said he had found in his lifetime practically every conservative organization was sold out. And we saw on the credits of a film about Bohemian Grove that the head at that time of the Heritage Foundation, I think it was Edwin Fulner, was a visitor there. He was a member going to Bohemian Grove. So you really can't trust these remote figures who say they are congressmen. Anything more on that?
Yes. At the conclusion of the September 2002 call, Marjorie Taylor Greene's office expressed receptiveness to the HDI issue, and her staffer stated that he would be informing Representative Greene of the Humpty Dumpty Institute and its ties to the CCP, the U.S. Congress, and radical Democrats expressing a desire to speak further on the issue in the future.
And you know, if you out there think ho-hum, there they are again with more of these remote Washington, D.C. figures, it'll never affect us. No, listeners, there's no repentance in America. There is none in most quarters. Not in those churches that were giving the COVID-19 shots. Paid off, we've learned now, in some cases with money to put them into children and adults. There's no repentance. So we're going to live in the hell where we live, and we're being shown that by God. Judgment is underway. There we are in East Palestine. And now, how about Colorado? Friday, December 16th, 2022, Ethan Huff at Natural News. Nasty. Colorado to begin feeding recycled sewer sludge back through people's drinking water taps. Toilet to tap is slowly becoming the norm in the United States as supposedly dwindling water supplies caused by droughts and, quote, global warming force local governments to feed treated sewer sludge back through people's drinking water taps. The latest area of the country to take the approach is Colorado, which appears to be in competition with other, quote, progressive states to become the most, quote, sustainable. Part of becoming sustainable means turning human society into a cattle society. Meat eventually becomes off limits to be replaced by bugs and debris, and wastewater becomes drinking water, which is the direction Colorado is now taking. Quote, every stream and river in this country has someone putting in their wastewater after they've treated it, said Eric Sufert, whose brewery in Castle Rock has been proudly serving wastewater recycled beer to customers since 2017. Seifert's operation was the exception. But the Colorado Water Quality Agency this past fall gave the green light for direct potable reuse, DPR, practices to become the norm all across the state. Related, some parts of California have been recycling sewer water for years. Do Americans really want to drink chemically treated, quote, recycled water from their neighbors' toilet bowls? Seufert is partially right about treated wastewater making its way into natural water sources that are then fed through people's taps. The difference with direct potable reuse is that water does not first have to be dispersed in a large body of water. And Lou, I think you have a little more on that.
I do. Toilet to tap means exactly what its name suggests. Toilet water is treated and immediately fed back into the drinking water system without ever going back into nature for additional cleansing. The idea was put up for a vote in the November election, and a final approval was given on November 14th by the Colorado Water Quality Control Commission to implement the new DPR rule. Quote, "We are very excited about the opportunity Colorado's DPR rule provides as our state and communities look for new and innovative ways to ensure safe, high-quality, and sustainable drinking water supplies now and into the future," announced Water Reuse, that's spelled capital W-A-T-E, capital R-E-U-S-E, in celebration. "The goal is to transition the people of Colorado away from consuming groundwater, which goes through a natural cleansing process as it seeps into the ground through rocks, soil, and sediment. Instead, Coloradans will now be drinking chemically treated water straight from their neighbors' toilet bowls." And this is another quote. "I think it's an important tool for the long term because it gives water providers options to respond to future scarcity of water supplies, whether drought-driven or for other reasons," said Mark Marlowe, director of Castle Rock Water.
Lou, we're lower than the cattle we're said to be to the elite. I don't think cattle would even really want to drink straight out of a toilet bowl.
I don't think so, no. I think they're used to nice little natural ponds and things like that. Going on, reports indicate that the treatment process for recycled toilet bowl water involves disinfection with ozone gas or ultraviolet light, along with filtration through membranes containing microscopic pores that remove solids and trace contaminants.
You know, this might be about as powerful and effective as burning that vinyl chloride. We heard Jeff Renz talk about Governor Mike DeWine and another governor signing off on allowing this to happen. Did they not know that dioxin would be the result? We have to wonder, how much is stupidity? How much is the reprobate mind? How much is the delusion that God has sent, as he did in the Bible? You can read about him saying that he sent a delusion on unrepentant people, people who are rebellious, his people. How much is stupidity? How much is elite, sinister, diabolical planning? But go ahead.
"While such a process is not explicitly prohibited in most areas of the country, it is not typically the standard, because allowing nature to do much of the work has long been seen as a better and safer approach for obtaining clean water. It will still be a while before even Castle Rock starts actively utilizing toilet to tap, as more testing is needed. The expectation is that in the next 3 to 5 years, Castle Rock, and likely many other areas of Colorado, will begin implementing toilet-to-tap systems to fight, quote, climate change, unquote. Water recycling is expensive. It also still relies on local water sources that, if the dwindling Colorado River is any indicator, can run dry, leaving large cities without any potable drinking water. Quote, if you build a big, direct, potable reuse system, and you don't have it even for a few years, that causes some problems."
Is that portable there or potable?
Potable. Yeah, potable.
That is portable. They were talking earlier about potable, which I guess means, pretty safe to drink.
Yeah.
So, okay,
now,
go ahead.
I stand corrected. Here it is. I always pronounced it potable, but it may be this potable.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'll repeat that. If you build a big, direct, potable reuse system and you don't have it even for a few years, that causes some problems, said Greg Fisher, the demand planning manager at Denver Water.
Now, what does
that
mean? If you don't use it for a few years, you have trouble. Do you think it doesn't work right away, or what do you think he's implying there?
I think he's implying if there's a drought and the supply gets interrupted.
Oh, I see.
Years.
Then they, yes,
I believe that's
as they were
mean.
Saying earlier, yeah, then these cities are left high and dry.
Yeah, they're in
then
trouble.
They do not have the supposedly cleansed water. Go ahead.
That's right, and that's the end of that.
All right, now we get to the moral deterioration again as we fall further to hell. LifeSite News, and this is Jonathan Van Maren, Friday, January 6, 2023. DC Comics pushes woke agenda by making Joker villain pregnant in latest issue. The American comic world has been using its heroes and stories to overtly push the LGBT agenda for several years now. DC Comics has taken the next bold step in transforming itself into a cartoonish propaganda arm of the transgender movement. One of their first 2023 releases, the fourth issue of The Joker, The Man Who Stopped Laughing, features the Joker becoming pregnant and giving birth to a son. The event isn't meant as a joke, either. The Joker, immortalized as one of the arch-villains of American pop mythology on both page and screen, is a sadistic evil man, not a woman. But the new series by Matthew Rosenberg and Carmine DiGiandomenico features, quote, his most bizarre caper yet, end of quote. The Joker becomes pregnant by the mother of his child, magician Zatanna. This gender swap is intentional and is intended to push the cultural moment and strain the boundaries of the audience's credulity. One scene shows a man dressed as a jester remarking on the Joker's pregnant belly. I think you're pregnant. The Joker replies, I think you're right. Do we have a good OBGYN we use? According to the storyline, the pregnancy is the result of a spell cast by Zatanna and ends with Dr. Phosphorus initiating the birth, peering at the Joker with his legs in stirrups before the villain vomits out the child. This is really bad. This is like the old story, The Exorcist?
Yeah.
The movie, yeah. And all of that. See, everything's coming to fruition. Evil is getting worse. It's everywhere in the culture. This evil kind of weird, irrational, diabolical strangeness. So it says, predictably, the storyline is getting mixed reviews. One fan noted that this is why I stopped reading comics. Another that comics have truly lost their way. Many have already pointed out that the pregnant man storyline is part of DC Comics' social justice agenda. While defenders of the piece are insisting that it is just a comic, and that as such, anyone claiming that the Joker's pregnancy is intended to push his social agenda is just a tightwad who can't enjoy a joke, albeit a very weird one.
That might be a believable analysis if the American comic world hadn't been using its heroes and stories to overtly push the LGBT agenda for several years now. In 2021, for example, DC Comics unveiled a new bisexual Man of Steel, with Superman gaining a male love interest. The same year, DC Comics also queered Batman's sidekick Robin by outing him as a bisexual as well, with the writer noting that she, quote, wanted to pay tribute to the fact that sexuality is a journey, unquote. Even earlier, DC Comics launched a lesbian version of Batwoman. Marvel Comics got in the game by, and I'm not making this up, launching a non-binary superhero named Snowflake and his twin brother, Safe Space, to reclaim these words as positives, apparently. LGBT characters have been a staple of the X-Men stories for some time as well. And the Marvel Universe film franchise has gone all in on the LGBT agenda, with the Thor 4 director proudly stating, quote, we're all queer, unquote. In that context, it seems obvious that DC Comics' decision to depict a male character as pregnant is simply part of a larger effort to mainstream the idea that men can get pregnant, something that, as I noted in an essay a couple of years ago, the mainstream media has been working very hard on for some time by publishing a torrent of, quote, human interest, unquote, stories featuring pregnant men. These stories, and now this new form of fiction, are a concerted effort to eliminate the instinctive shock and revulsion that accompanies the sight of a man with a distended pregnant belly. DC Comics knows it's pushing the envelope with this new story. That's the entire point. But they'll tell us it's just a joke, until it isn't. Soon enough, it becomes unacceptable to laugh at it.
Well, in France, they're laughing. The French are laughing. You know, things that don't exemplify raison, reason. French Interior Minister ridiculed after saying only 690 cars burned during New Year's Eve as migrants continued to drive chaos in Europe. January 6th, Natural News by J.D. Hayes. When European nations began admitting millions of mostly Muslim migrants from tumultuous Middle Eastern countries some years ago, as war swept across several countries, including Syria and Iraq, seasoned demographers and cultural experts knew that there would soon be trouble. Most of Europe is white and Christian. Well, without question, the incoming migrants were darker-skinned and believed in Islam. That wasn't long before the chaos started. Now it seems as though migrant-generated chaos has become so much the norm that European officials are simply treating it as such, as demonstrated by French Interior Minister Gerald Darmanin, who claimed in a statement this week that the New Year's Eve celebrations took place around the country, quote, without any major incidents, despite the fact that scores of, quote, incidents were posted on social media. What's more, French authorities were expecting problems, having mobilized tens of thousands of police and riot personnel to handle what everyone obviously knew was coming. And we get this from Remix News. There were riots in several French cities. Almost 700 cars were set on fire, and nearly 500 people were arrested on New Year's Eve in France. The French authorities were on high alert for the end of the year, with 90,000 police officers and gendarmes mobilized across the country for New Year's Eve, according to a statement by Darmanin. And we have a little more about that. The French politician also pointed out that New Year's Eve 2023 showed a historic improvement in the number of vehicles set on fire, with only 690 cars burned nationwide. According to figures in the release, that number was 874 last year, a 21% improvement. Darmanin did admit that some 490 people were arrested, which amounted to an 11% increase from the year before, which led him to conclude that the country's police forces were obviously prepared to maintain law and order, apparently failing to realize that they would not be needed or needed in such numbers if there was less chaos to begin with. Twitter users mocked Darmanin's post, pointing out that the country was flooded with 90,000 officers, creating a very costly police state for what should be a festive occasion. And even then, hundreds of vehicles were set on fire and police attacked, Remix News reported. Though he went on to claim that there were no notable incidents across France, the residents of several communities and cities would beg to differ. In Nantes, for example, rioters set ablaze several cars on New Year's Eve and also attacked police and firefighters with high explosive fireworks. Many of the attacks were caught on video and posted to social media.
From Lifeside News, Ireland sees 42% more deaths in past 2 months compared to pre-COVID levels. And, quote, when we see death rates 3,000 higher in a small six-week period than were in a six-week period pre-COVID, we can have the government standing idly by, said Deputy Hadar Toibin. This is by Tim Jackson. Dublin, Ireland. The number of deaths occurring in Ireland is now significantly higher than the number the country experienced both before and during the spread of COVID-19, prompting opposition politicians to call for a full investigation into the cause. Figures obtained by RIP.ie, that would be RIP.ie, and analyzed by the mainstream Irish Examiner, show deaths were 42% higher from 1st December 2022 to 25th January 2023. 9,718 deaths, compared to the 8 weeks to 25th January 2019, with only 6,802 deaths. Deaths have risen 20% compared to the same period a year ago, while they are 19% higher than figures from that period 2 years ago, when Ireland was entering another lockdown before Christmas 2020 and rolling out its vaccination program in early 2021. The leader of opposition party, Aontu, told Newstalk Breakfast, the figures indicate, quote, something very, very serious that is happening, unquote. And the quote goes on, this is by Deputy P.A.D.R. Toibin. The key point is this, and this is really, really important. The government needs to investigate this very, very clearly in a scientific fashion. We need to get rid of the word maybe. When we see death rates 3,000 higher in a small six-week period than they were in a six-week period pre-COVID, we can have the government standing idly by.
And now another very important informational warning to all of you. And we had that dear listener and newer friend talk about how she's haunted that her children wouldn't listen to her and not get vaccinated. Well, yours truly, again, in ordering, I believe this was from the layman's company, the food, I had to sound off to the telephone rep. And boy, she was in agreement. She said she sat her children down and they had a big talk and none of them got the vaccine for COVID and they will not. So right on, there are a few people we can still reach and we can reaffirm to them that their position to stay well against the depopulation efforts was a good one. So this title says, getting vaccinated for COVID four or more times results in near complete collapse of the immune system, bombshell study finds. And again, this is Ethan Huff at Natural News. Writer and former New York Times reporter Alex Berenson says he has in his possession evidence from a study showing that COVID booster vaccines push the immune system over the edge, causing an almost total collapse of immune function. In a series of tweets, Berenson wrote that based on the study's findings, no more booster shots should go into any arms. Boosters need to be halted immediately. Halted immediately. Berenson wrote, Stack coming, Stack referring to his Substack blog. There's a new paper. It's bad. How bad? I've shown it to two physicians so far. One said he had a seizure reading it. The other said something worse. Study comes from China, which is where many believe the Wuhan coronavirus originated. It shows that after the fourth injection, meaning the two primary jabs, and two subsequent booster shots, a person's immune system is pretty much shot. A summary of the study explains that despite being unleashed all around the world under Operation Warp Speed, COVID injections have no known efficacy and their potential adverse effects remain largely unknown. This in and of itself suggests that nobody should be getting these injections. Since many already have, researchers decided to compare the humoral and cellular immune responses of an extended course of recombinant receptor binding domain, or RBD, vaccine boosters in a mouse model. Here's what they found. Multiple vaccine boosters after the conventional vaccination course significantly decreased RBD-specific antibody titers and serum neutralizing efficacy against the Delta and Omicron variants, and profoundly impaired CD4 and CD8 plus T cell activation and increased PD-1 and LAG-3 expressions in these T cells. Mechanistically, we confirmed that extended vaccination with RBD boosters overturned the protective immune memories by promoting adaptive immune tolerance. Our findings demonstrate potential risks with the continuous use of SARS-CoV-2 vaccine boosters, providing immediate implications for the global COVID-19 vaccination enhancement strategies.
And here we have a subheadline, getting vaccinated, and that's in quotes, vaccinated, for COVID means permanently destroying your immune system. An unvaccinated immune system, just as a little background, is programmed to innately ward off diseases via innate immunity. Upon natural exposure to a pathogen, natural immunity learns to adapt, creating an appropriate level of adaptive immunity. What COVID jabs do, based on these findings, is damage natural immune function. They interfere with the innate adaptive immune balance, leaving the host more prone to infection, which goes against everything we've been told by the quote-unquote authorities about these shots. The damage caused by COVID injections extends far past just antibodies, which function as the immune system's frontline defense against viruses and bacteria. T cells, which serve as a backup to antibodies, also become damaged, seemingly without any ability to repair. The study was published without much fanfare on December 22, 2022, in the peer-reviewed journal Science, or iScience. If it unequivocally shows, as Berenson is reporting, that COVID boosters, and really all COVID shots, are a death sentence for one's immune system. Quote, we found that the protective effects from the humoral immunity and cellular immunity established by the conventional immunizations were both profoundly impaired during the extended vaccination course, the study's authors claimed, or admitted.
And Lou, this is why we have some commentators saying that we get AIDS if we've had these vaccines. And it's not a true kind of an AIDS exactly, but it is a damage to the ability of the body. The DNA has been changed by these spike proteins going into the DNA.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Pick up that article.
Yes. Even though mice were used as a test subjects instead of humans, the researchers added that the animals were genetically altered, quote, to model accurately the human response to the coronavirus, unquote, bearing, quote, profound similarities with humans in response to SARS-CoV-2 infections, unquote. And here's another quote from a commenter about these revelations contained in this new paper, quote, we conspiracy theorists knew this years ago, unquote. Another wrote, imagine the profits the medical and big pharma industries are going to take or rake in when everyone has a disease or cancer. Another wrote.
Oh, Lou, is that the end of that article?
It is, yes.
We've had such sad news. A dear friend of ours who has been coping very, very much for 16 years with her dear husband having a brain tumor. And, of course, they took a medical route eventually that involved chemotherapy, even though this was said not to be cancerous. But, again, they told us that some of the greatest brain experts in the world think that maybe all brain tumors are cancerous. So, you know, we always have these varying opinions of physicians, but we felt that, oh, why put him through chemotherapy? Because now his body then just weakened completely, and he has no quality of life left, basically. And finally, his dear wife, after 15 years of struggling to keep him at home, could not. And to her credit, she found a very small facility where people are people, and it is a home-like environment. And she had to do this. There was no question about it. Well, she wrote that she wanted to go to see her father in New York because he is now 85 years old, and she thought she might not have a lot of time with him. We just had a phone call. Her 85-year-old father is dead. And I said, oh, did you get to go to visit him? Yes, several weeks ago. And he was scheduled for a heart operation. Now, this is a man that Lou and I haven't seen for a couple decades, but he was a very hale, hearty, strong kind of guy. You know, he grew up in the cities where the mafia was, where the gangs were. He was a man who could defend himself. He was streetwise. He was everything that you would think a very strong kind of man would be, wrestler type, don't you think, Lou?
Oh, very much so. Yeah, he was a, you know, one of those guys that I think could very well, you know, exist in a hostile environment and still come out ahead.
That's right. But he didn't, because guess what this hostile environment was? He died suddenly because they said he needed a blood transfusion before this heart operation, the coming heart operation. And the doctor, now this daughter said the doctor couldn't believe it. See, the doctor knew this man, though he was 85, was in this top shape, except for needing this heart operation. So what killed him? It's a real scandal that Dr. Jane Ruby and others have brought out, that the Red Cross, oh, now remember, the Red Cross, you heard bad stuff about it from your father, didn't you?
I heard from my dad.
Long ago,
during World War II, my dad knew a lot of soldiers. He worked at the Navy Yard in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, knew a lot of sailors. They all said that the Red Cross would charge for things like coffee and other things, whereas the Salvation Army would give them away for free.
Now, we know that there are occult derivations. Red Cross is a lot like Rosy Cross, which is a lot like Rosicrucians. Perhaps the Rosicrucians put up those Georgia Guidestones. We're never sure because it was a signature RC. Perhaps that was a cover for something else. But at any rate, we are saying that the Red Cross has not done a thing to prevent the contamination of the blood supply by people who are vaccinated. The spike proteins are going into it. So what killed our friend's father so quickly, was it the spike proteins? And, of course, it was pretty scary there with Jeff Renz's interview talking about if you're unvaccinated and you live with a bunch of vaccinated people over time, there are people getting sick. There are people having allergic reactions. One woman had a miscarriage, I believe, that they were discussing. There were other things that happened. So, you know, you have to use the common sense that God gave you. Think about the Bible, the prudent man. And there are several passages about the prudent man. Another one says about he prepares. You need to prepare, and not only physically, but spiritually. We all need to pray more. We all need to read the Bible more. We might be in the beginning of Revelation. We're praying here that God will mercifully hold the timetable back. Give us more time to repent. He did so in 2001, beginning of judgment on America, when my brother called my elderly mother and said, "Our nation is in dire peril." Yes, it's still in dire peril, but now it's different. The people are being killed. The killing fields have begun. It's not just a few thousand people in New York, is it, Lou?
No, it could be millions.
Yes, it can be. Perhaps 700 million when it ends up. We don't know. But if you don't know Jesus Christ, he loves you and he wants you. So repent and accept him as your Savior. Good night.